This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. Thank you for staying with us on BFM 89.9. I'm Khoo Soo Chuang with Wong Xiaoning and Philip Tse. We'll turn our attention now to digital infrastructure investment, or in Malaysia's case, the lack thereof.
Yes, because Facebook and Google have just unveiled a new undersea cable project called Apricot. Now, this will connect Singapore, Japan, Guam, the Philippines, Thailand, and Indonesia. Notice anyone missing? You're right, Malaysia. This is unfortunately the third missed opportunity for Malaysia, with two previous cable plans called Echo and Biforce also bypassing the country.
Now, many have raised concerns that this is due to the revocation of the cabotage exemption for undersea cable repairs by former Transport Minister Datuk Dr. Wee Ka Siong back in November 2020. Since then, we have known that tech giants like Facebook, Google and Microsoft have written to the government at least twice to appeal for a reinstatement of the exemption. Now, prior to the present political turmoil, there were reportedly inter-ministerial discussions on the policy involving as many as six different ministries. The cabinet was slated to discuss this issue 2 weeks ago. Of course, there has yet to be a clear resolution, and given the political deadlock, will Malaysia remain an island in a sea of cables?
And of course, cabotage refers to the basically foreign participation between two transport points in the same country. And of course, to get a better understanding of the consequences of our cabotage policy on digital infrastructure, we now talk to Nabila Hussain, a policy communications lead at the Social and Economic Research Initiative, SERI. Now, Nabila, can you give us a primer on how the current cabotage policy for undersea cable repairs affect our digital infrastructure plans?
Sure. So, as you rightly said, cabotage refers to the transport of goods or passengers to points within a country. And most of the world's countries do have cabotage policies. But it's important to note that these countries as well do not generally treat submarine cable repair and installation as cabotage. So this is where we see the first challenge, where we are force-fitting analog policies or regulations to fit into issues that face us in this digital era. And that's really the main challenge here.
So because of that lack of adjustment and alignment to the policy, is that the key deciding factor why foreign companies have decided to bypass Malaysia?
So it's difficult to be conclusive and really say that it is just the one deciding factor. There tend to be a variety of reasons related to investment decisions, as we know. But given recent developments and the lack of decision making, this has been cited as the main reason for investors to look elsewhere. I think we do need to realize that in today's climate, investors have options. And the lack of industry consultation and collaboration and the unilateral decision-making of various authorities has led to Malaysia losing out in this case.
But Nabila, on the flip side, some have argued that the cabotage policy protects Malaysian interests and preserves job opportunities and safeguards our data security. Are these valid arguments in favour of the policy?
That is certainly one way to look at it. And as you've rightly said, I mean, we do need to look at both sides. However, I think what we might need to consider is the fact that the digital economy by default is multi-stakeholder and requires a collaborative approach. I think the reason why this has become an issue of concern for many technology companies is the reason that there are billions of dollars being invested into the submarine cables that form the backbone of our global digital infrastructure. And in making these investment decisions, companies also want to be able to decide how these cables are repaired or attended to in the event of harm. And so in taking a protectionist stance, we may allow Malaysia to grow in the short term, but only to the extent that we are able to serve our nation of 32 million. So if we are able to take a more open approach where we are looking to build the economy, build our talent pool, so that Malaysia is not only serving Malaysians, but also able to serve the region. ASEAN, for example, is home to more than those of us in the European Union. So this protectionist stance may serve us well in the short term, but looking at the digital economy and the way that it operates, this way of working may only work well for really a short period of time.
Do you have estimates of how much FDI Malaysia has lost due to this cabotage policy?
So it is difficult to give precise numbers for the reason that what this policy, this exemption enabled is the laying of submarine cables, which in turn enables greater bandwidth and transmission of data, which in turn should lead to more data center and digital infrastructure. And what all of this collectively enable are greater financial services, healthcare services, education online. And it is difficult to put a precise number to that. And I do think that in calculating that economic cost, it is also important that we think about the social cost of doing this and not doing this, this being the cabotage policy or the exemption. So it's difficult to put a precise number, but what is more at stake here beyond the investment and the FDI numbers are really what the impact of this is to the digital divide and whether we are increasing the digital divide, not only within Malaysia, but also between Malaysia and other countries in the region and globally.
Yes, so Nabila, given the fact that this cabotage exemption was basically vetoed by the former Transport Minister, Wee Ka Siong, last November, given the outgoing exodus of PN ministers in the recent developments, do you expect a change in policy on this development?
So I think what has really become clear during the course of this flip-flop, I suppose, in the cabotage policy, is the fact that there is a great need for stewardship and for policies to be made in national interest and not in political or individual interest. And so I do hope that there will be a greater move for collaboration and seeking of industry consultation, in this case with technology companies, both foreign and local. Going back to your question on protectionism and whether this takes a protectionist stance, while this may be said to protect local shipping companies, I think we also need to think about the local technology companies that rely on this digital infrastructure and the laying of these submarine cables, which will in turn grow our digital economy. So I do hope that there will be greater collaboration and a positive outcome in the national interest and not in any political or individual interest.
Just last quick one. You know, you said just now about the digital divide between the country and between our regional peers. Can you help us contrast how wide that divide will be if this doesn't continue on?
Again, it's difficult to estimate, but I think I would put it in the context of thinking about the fact that digital infrastructure today is not something that is limited to those of us in computer science or coding or data science, but because of the fact that technology underlies our daily essential services, whether it's My Sejahtera, online banking, or a student trying to access an online class, I think we need to think about the fact that technology today is pervasive, is around us, and should be accessible to all of us, whether we are sitting in urban Kuala Lumpur or in a rural part of our country. Technology really needs to reach all of us, and it does lie on the resilience, not only of our digital infrastructure, but also our digital talent and our policies from a holistical approach.
Okay, thank you so much, Nabila. That was Nabila Hussain, the Policy Communications Lead at the Social and Economic Research Initiative, otherwise known as SERI. Now, there's big money in technology and there's big money in data. And the fact that Malaysia has chosen to protect its own local interests versus, you know, allowing people like Facebook and Google to come in. You know, there's a website, guys, called submarinecablemap.com.
It's Philip's favourite, by the way.
Yeah. It just shows that all these cables are going to Singapore, right?
They just bypass us.
They just bypass Malaysia. And the fact is, Malaysia is closer to these people coming from Hawaii, right, than Singapore is. I mean, there's obviously countervailing measure, reasons, local shipping interest, for example, local data interest, for example. But even Time.com and Telecom Malaysia, they are in support of this thing by and large. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.